Okay, then we can begin by taking questions. Who would like to be on the stack for questions?
Chris Corey for the stack.
Chris? Who else?
Lawrence for the stack.
Lawrence, okay. Who else?
Maybe George can stop sharing his screen. Do we still need to have the audit up? Everybody should have a copy of this.
Yeah, that's true.
James for the stack, Chair. Oh.
James, okay. All right, let's start with Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The audit, of course, is marked as a draft, and the language that is contained within the audit is fairly boilerplate. And I am to understand that the audit needs to be submitted by tomorrow. So my first question, and I have one follow-up question. My first question is, will the audit be marked final when it's submitted tomorrow, after the conclusion of this discussion and whatever, minor changes that Rogers has to make between now and that point in time?
Yes.
Okay. And
they don't really mark it final, but they sign it. And
okay, got
and
it. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once it's signed off, that's it. It's done.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I just had one follow up question. It's very quick. I remember in previous audits seeing a breakdown of assets by station. I see the assets shown on the consolidated. This is fixed assets. The current assets don't concern me. Where is that contained within this report, or would I have to request that?
No, this is contained. I'm just looking at my other copy.
Oh, I'm looking too. I know we haven't.
It must be, it would have to be in the appendix I'm gathering, but I couldn't spot it.
Yeah, it's page 30 and 31.
Okay, I'm looking. Just hang on one moment. I'd like you to hold on until I spot it. Okay, so there's the current assets. Okay, there's the property. Got it. Thank you. All finished. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Lawrence, you're next.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, George, for your presentation and for your hard work. I just have a couple of simple questions. I patted myself at trying to be as logical as possible. But I see in the expenses and the annual expenses that our personnel, at certain stations is over $2 million, annually. Is that an annual expense?
Yes.
Okay. Then, the other thing is, is the reduction in the expenses was one of the reasons that, the order that had no opinion?
No.
Can you expound on that for me, please? Then I have one last follow-up question.
Can you restate your question?
Yeah, my question, and I don't know if it's logical, but my question has to do with, as a result of the reduction in expenses, because we had so much, debt and the payment towards the debts that we do have, did that, additionally qualify, the audit we're dealing with 2019, did that help in formulating a no opinion position or no qualified opinion? And then I have one last follow-up question, Chair.
Yeah, that itself didn't change the opinion either way. I'm trying to get to a good page where it shows a comparison. So
let me just move on while you look for that. Then this way we don't cut into everybody's time.
Okay.
The other question is, what's the delay in the management letter? From what I understand, that the management letters, do they normally come out before the draft audit is submitted, or is that, I see Eileen shaking her head, no.
Comes out so at the same time.
It comes out around the same time. So
usually.
There's a delay right now, as my good friend Chris puts in the chat. Is there a delay on the management letter?
I think they're working on it. Is that what you understood, Eileen? But it's still going to be submitted within the time, which is 30 days.
This was such a crazy, rush job to get the audit done in time for tomorrow's deadline that, the management letter has more to do with looking at our internal controls and providing analysis about that and recommendations. So it's not so much crunching numbers, but there's a lot more thoughtfulness, I guess you'd say, that has to go into it. And, writing better, in English, not in accountingese, maybe. So, you don't want that to be rushed either. And we will discuss that in the audit committee.
Thank you, Anna. And George, if you have the answer to that other question, my first question, then you can blend it into the other answers. Thank you.
All right. So, so salaries and wages, in FY19, was about $5 million, $4,975,000. And FY18 was $4.559 million. So salaries and wages actually went up, so they didn't go down.
Okay, James, you're next on the stack.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to time myself, but if anybody sees me going over, please let me know. I want to ask George to reiterate possibly some of the things that he said. Things are improving. I want to suggest to the public and to the board members that if they read the audit, you'll get a general understanding of the overall picture of not only how Pacifica is doing, but what Pacifica is doing and how we're doing it. And I want to just ask, given that the deadline is tomorrow, and, there may be questions about the audit, the management letter, et cetera. The critical thing is it not that we approve this audit for tomorrow, because it has to be submitted no matter what. George, that was for you. I don't know if you followed that.
So there's not a lot of space here for changes, and I haven't heard any question that would encourage that. But if there's improvements, FY20 is right around the corner, because we're taking a little rest this weekend, and my team and managers at the stations are already working on FY20, and so there's a few steps we have to do to get 19 actually closed up, and so we can move forward for sure with our 20 information, but there's enough in there for 20 that we have started, and so I'm hoping to move forward on this aggressively through May and June and have FY20 issued by the end of June.
Thank Julie you. Has her hand up, Alex. Julie has her hand up.
Okay. James, did you have any further questions?
No, that was it. I want to thank George for all the work, and Anita as well.
Julie, I'll put myself on the stack also after Julie.
And this is Lydia to the stack.
And Lydia, okay.
Great, thanks for that nice presentation. I have two questions which I think are pretty quick. The first one is, I just would like you all to confirm that when we submit the audit, It is just the documents that you just went through, George. It does not include the management letter. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay. And then the second question I had has to do with if, and this is a conditional, if we were behind in paying it, making any loan payments, for example, or had been, you know, in the period of FY 2019, because this is not an audit of our financial position today, it's an audit for FY 2019. But if we had been behind in paying, making loan payments, would that show up affirmatively somewhere within this audit document?
Yes, in those disclosures, yeah.
Got it. Thank you. That's a, so once we make this public, because there are no such disclosures there, it will be clear that at least as of FY19, we were not behind on making any loan payments.
Right.
Right.
And I don't think they would have extended the maturity date had that been the case.
Yes.
True. But I'm thinking through to the, what about our critics who maybe say we're not making loan payments on time and that once we're able to make this public, that's important fodder.
Sure.
Thanks. That's all I had, Alex.
Okay. Thank you. George, for the benefit of the non-accountants out there, you said that our financial position has improved in 2019 over the previous year. Could you just sort of give us a highlight and exactly in what way our financial position has improved?
Sure. And it comes down to, well, when I went through the income statement, I pointed out the net from operations was a positive $289,000, I believe. And that's about $1 million better than last year, apples to apples. So fundraising was better. Expenses were up a bit in 19, but to generate almost $300,000 from operations of normal operations, that's very strong, and that's also net of depreciation expense. So there was a lot of improvement on the balance sheet, and the biggest piece of that also was the almost $2.4 million in the accounts payable that was forgiven by the vendor. So that played an important part. So it really cut the accumulated deficit from about $4.6 million down to about $2 million. And so it's still on the deficit side, which nobody likes, but it's a heck of a lot better than going the other way.
Thank you. Okay. I think Lydia was next.
Yes. What I was going to say is that both, as George had said, we're entering immediately into the processes for the 2020 audit. And there were a few things that will be materializing that will have an impact on what that management letter will be, or even the one that is pending, because there are things that are imminent having to do with the loan. There are things first of all, that I have learned that we can access, and that would have an effect on the wording about some of the concerns with the loan that are in the going concern. And so having had verification, thanks to Nancy Sorden and to Grace Aaron as well, some important information on both that and on the pensions, that those are things that, number one, will be significantly relevant and improved for not only 2020, but I believe as the management letter evolves, so that, for example, the report and plans and so forth, a recovery plan types of information that were useful for the extension of the loan already had to be updated with additional favorables. And some of that will materialize at the May 6 PMB meeting once we get approval on XYZ that are within those plans. So I anticipate that both the 2020 audit and the management letter will be able to reflect some of that, because as you know, we have to send corroborating already completed arrangements, right, to back up what it is that we're saying we're planning for. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Lydia. Did you want to comment on that, George?
I'm happy to hear that, and that'll be part of the FY20 disclosures. So I like to see things going in the right direction.
Okay. Who else wants to be on the stack? Julie?
I thought of another question. Oops.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I thought of another question. And this one is, I don't know whether it might be a question for Eileen, but is it possible, Eileen, that now I'm thinking through to the FY20 audit, is it possible that the pension audits would be done or progress made to the point that that would help with the going concern, portion of the FY20 audit, recognizing that we're trying to get the FY20 audit done in as little as, another 2 months?
I would say so, personally. You didn't ask me, but I would say yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not sure if audits will be done. We won't be caught up on all the pension audits, because I think we just finished. I can never keep it in my head. I know we finished 2017 for one of them, and we're looking into the other one. But I think there may be enough information available where, even if we don't have the actual audits, that the auditors may feel, that Jorge may feel confident enough with the information that's available to consider that the numbers we have for the pension audits are what would be the word, that we can trust them and that they are not materially different from, we don't expect there to be a material difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
We can't guarantee that to you guys right now, but that's what we're hoping for.
Of course, and the idea is that, we're doing the same thing in terms of catching up on pension audits, and the closer we get on the pension audits, the closer we'll be able to get in terms of removing the going concern consideration. Yeah.
And, Anita, I don't know if you know, I was in touch with your HR person, Cynthia Dovek, yesterday or the day before. And she's bashing away at it. She's in touch with our third party administrators and she's in touch with the pension auditors,
Time has called.
Okay.
Okay.
To say anyway.
I think I heard. I'm sorry. I didn't, if you.
No, just Lydia to the stack after whoever's.
Okay.
I
think James wanted to speak again. Right.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to make a quick note that George deals with the audit portion of what we do. And he's talking about the 2019 audit, which is in the past, somewhat significantly in the past. So directing questions to him about how things are evolving and improving now are not exactly on point for George. That might be more appropriate for Anita, who's our ICFO, or for anybody else, you know, on the call who might have that opinions on the current matters. That's sure. All. Thank you.
Thanks. May I address the last question? Just adding to Eileen and Anita, the pension plan audits, it was an emphasis of matter in the opinion. It wasn't really the cause of the going concern. Even if they were cleaned up, there's still obvious factors that would still lead you to be concerned about the ability to stay in business. And that's mostly the deficit, the debt, and so there's issues beyond the pension plan that right. results in a qualified opinion.
Okay. I think Lawrence, did you want to be on the stack again?
Yes, Chair. I think Lydia's ahead of me, Chair.
Okay.
Yes, I just wanted, for the sake of the listening public, is that our, when we're talking about the pension audit, that is not to say that our pensions are not fully funded. They're fully funded. And that has been definitely verified. What we're looking at is past years where, at first blush, it looks like we might have overfunded, but not underfunded. So that is my understanding is where we are with the audits. But it is an IRS requirement, and as George pointed out, is that you can't submit for, even if we finish 2017, you can't send in just 2017 and start catching up as you do with the audits. You have to finish all of it in order to be in good standing. So that's like a separate but very important issue. But to be perfectly clear, our pension plans for our employees are fully funded and up to date.
Thank you, Lydia. Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So I have just a couple of procedural questions, if you will. I'm getting a lot of questions as to when will the order be released and posted and send out. Would it be posted on all Pacifica Station websites, including the affiliates? And when? Is there like a guesstimate or an estimate date where those things will be released? Thank you, Chair. That's it.
This is Lydia. May I answer?
Go ahead.
Sure, Lydia.
Okay. So it probably will not be tomorrow. Like we said, we're on deadline. Our deadline right now is like late afternoon tomorrow. So it will probably be early next week, you know, hopefully like Monday or Tuesday at the latest that we'll be able to post it.
And the reason why I asked that question, Chair, is because of the misinformation propaganda and the bashing that is going on against this board. And I think the more transparent we are, the more that will be notified, if you will. Okay. I think Eileen wanted to answer too, Chair.
Yeah, I was going to say that once we get the final document from Jorge Diaz, Otis has time to post it on the Pacifica site. It'll be available.
Okay. I have one other question. I noticed in some of the reports, I see millions of dollars in debts by some of the divisions of Pacifica. Are you able to distinguish between debts that are internal to the organization, say, a debt from one department to another, from debts to, say, vendors that Pacifica owes to outside organizations?
Yes.
How?
Yeah. Oh. What page?
It would be page
30, isn't it?
Page 30.
Yes.
30. And the, under assets, the fourth line down is interdivision receivables. And, so, there's 10 million owed to, national office and 1.8 million to KPFA. And that's net. And there's back and forth between and among the stations. And then down under the liability section, the third line is interdivision payables. And so, we see an amount there for PRA, KPFK, WBAI, WPFW, and KPFT. And that's the same 12.6 million that is receivable on the other side. So those accounts, handle all the, there's a lot of activity flowing through there, both payment for central services and payroll and in some cases that, station might advance another station, some money in the past and that gets paid up or not. And so this is the net result of that. So all that activity is kept completely separate from any accounts payable or accounts receivable activity.
Okay. Lawrence, to the stack again, Chair.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question there. I know that some of those interdivisional debts go back many, many years. Now, do you think it would make sense simply that debts that go back more than a certain number of years should just be written off at some point? Because it doesn't seem to make much sense to keep carrying them on our books. It makes us look a lot worse than we really are.
Well, on the consolidated statements, which is what the audit opinion is on, this is all supplementary information. On the consolidated statements, these numbers are eliminated, and so it doesn't make us look any better or worse. It's eliminated.
Okay, thank you. Lawrence, you had another question?
Yeah, yes, Chair. So I have I know we are submitting this draft tomorrow to the Attorney General's office. I have a suggested edit. Refer to page 28, above 16, income taxes. This was suggested by all the committee member Eric Jacobson, a colleague of mine from KPFK. It says investment and expertise are the focal point of the foundation moving forward. His suggested edit, and I agree with it, is investment expertise and steadfast fulfillment of the Pacifica mission are the focal point of the foundation moving forward. I think that focuses us on our charge, and what we're about. So, I'd like to submit that as an edit, from Eric G. Jacobson from KPFK, member of the Audit Committee. Again, I refer to page 28, right above 16, income taxes.
Lawrence, I couldn't quite understand what you said. Investment expertise in what?
Okay, so it the original sentence.
Just say it again.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna do. The original sentence says investment and expertise are the focal point of the foundation moving forward. Eric's suggested edit is investment expertise and steadfast fulfillment of the Pacifica mission are the focal point of the foundation moving forward. That's the edit that he is suggesting. And you got it in your email, Eileen.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia.
Lydia, yes.
Yes, okay, so that is the kind of text that was in my document to the auditor. And that is why we had a very favorable letter from the auditor to the lenders. And so that's we normally go through like a recovery plan, which will be kind of part and parcel of this management letter going forward. There's some time for that. He did not feel it needed to be approved. But that's exactly the kind of thing that I normally include, and I'm happy to do that, to the auditor as part of, it's something else. It's separate from the nuts and bolts and the figures of right now. So I recommend that we use that for not only this next audit, but before the management letter comes in, I'm more than happy to include it in my document.
Chair, I respectfully don't agree. I would suggest, since this audit, this draft audit is going to the Attorney General's office tomorrow morning, that I would even consider making a motion that that edit be included in this draft.
I would rule that out of order.
Yeah.
Can I ask why, Chair?
Mr. Chair, may I comment?
We're not here to change anything in the audit. That's up to the auditor. We're here simply to approve the audit or not approve it. You can make a friendly suggestion to the auditor if you wish, but we can't make motions asking him to do this or that. That's out of order.
Well, Chair, I'd like to appeal to the parliamentarian for a ruling on this, because I respectfully disagree with you as well, Chair.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia.
Lydia, before you step in, let me just clarify what happens with the point of order. The chair makes a ruling. The parliamentarian does not make a ruling. The chair makes a ruling, and if the member appeals from the ruling, then it goes for debate and a vote.
Mr. Chair?
Chair, I'm going to appeal your ruling.
Okay, I'd like to hear what Lydia says before we proceed.
Okay, so I think everyone should look up, just Google, the Sarbanes-Oxley. SOX is the short for it. It doesn't apply directly to a nonprofit, but you can also Google that as how it applies to a nonprofit. But the board doesn't have a say in the audit. So you can make, you can give the auditor information that is relevant, but that is why management does not sit on the audit committee. So for example, the fact that it's coming to the board is our, very, important health practice. I think it's really important for the board to be privy to the nuts and bolts of the audit, but that is why state of California requires this audit, that it be independent. And so we can amend, per se, an audit. We can certainly, you know, recommend things, but it's unlike, I can't tell if I'm still on. But it's the auditor has to be independent, and, sorry. Changing, ran out of charge. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so the auditor has to be completely independent from the board and from management. And so we can't insist on any changes, but we can provide information if it's relevant information. If we were really off by a horrendous amount of money or something, you know, really significant, again, we can just submit it to the auditor. That's our only role. This right now is because we want our listeners and we want the board members to be privy to what the independent auditor found, not to what management or the board wants. Okay?
Shall the decision of the chair be sustained?
I'd like to speak to that, Chair. I have been compelled to change my recommendation. And what I'd like to do is recommend that this edit be considered by Netta and by George and the other. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Reyes, you said this was a suggestion from a member of the audit committee.
Yes.
Did the audit committee vote to approve this suggestion and forward it to the auditor?
Well, the audit committee met, and there was only a rough draft that was presented to the audit committee, and Arlene could attest to that.
Okay. Well, I think the proper procedure then is simply to, you're free.
I'm just going to recommend it. I'm just going
to
recommend it.
Mr. Peterson is free to send a note to the auditor saying he, you know, that he thinks this might be better language because I think that would be acceptable, but we can't have votes telling the auditor how to change his word. Eileen?
Yeah, I actually did send a note to Jorge today after the meeting, as people asked, with the language that Eric had used, which is different from what you were proposing now, but the same idea. And I sent it to him and said, you know, you can include if you see fit. And that's all we get to say.
Okay. All right. Anyway, do we still have time on this item, Lawrence?
Yes, we do, Chair. We have 26 minutes and counting.
Oh, okay. So does anybody else want to be on the stack?
James,
okay.
Just real briefly, it's called an independent audit. It's an outside entity looking at what we do. We don't get to tell them what to say. That's all.
Chair, a point of personal privilege.
I think that point's already been made. What is your point of privilege?
Yeah, I'm not telling anybody to do anything. I'm just suggesting an edit. And I have yielded my appeal, and as a result of submitting the recommendation edit, the suggested edit recommendation. So
okay.
I think my colleague from New York is a little bit off base there.
Okay, well, let's keep focused on discussing the audit, and let's try to avoid these distractions. I don't know what else to call them. Does anybody else want to say anything about the audit at this point? Okay, then we're going to need a motion to approve the audit.
James, so moved.
Well, I'd like, can you give us the wording, the exact wording of the motion you're proposing? And maybe we can ask for assistance from the audit committee at this point. Eileen, do you have a suggestion for a motion?
Not offhand. Actually, you know, legally speaking and according to our bylaws don't actually require that the audit committee make its recommendations, nor that the PND actually approves it. These are just practices that we've had at Pacifica, and they're probably good ones because it involves everybody. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, you're absolutely right. If for some reason the PNB did not approve it, the audit is still the audit.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lydia.
This is Lydia. Yeah, but you can have a motion that the board approves the submission of the 2019 audit as presented.
Okay.
Something like that.
James?
We're approving a submission because I had to sign it. So somebody, you guys are my boss, so.
Okay. James, do you want to make that motion?
Yes, I'd move that the board supports.
Approves.
I want to say supports and approves the submission to the Attorney General of California, the 2019 audit as presented by, you can say by Rogers and Company or by George Walter for the...
Not me.
Okay. Okay. George bows out. All right, yes. By Rogers and Company.
Okay, do we have a second for that motion?
Julie, I second.
Okay, are there any objections? Okay, so the motion is approved by acclamation, and I just want to thank everybody who was involved in this. Thank every George and Anita and your staff at NEDA and the audit committee and the auditor who's not here. Thank you for your
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you.
Yes, Lydia?
There's one more item. I sent the letter. We have to, if we can, please approve the letter. It's going to be important that it be included tomorrow when we send this to the AG, the California AG.
Authorizing the 2020 audit?
Exactly, because the engagement letter, because then we can say we expect it to be completed by June 30th. So I'm sending this to our nonprofit attorneys and to our auditor tonight as soon as I'm signing it and sending it.
Yeah, Lydia, I was assuming we were going to do that in closed session. Are we able to do that in open session?
Oh, I didn't know we were having a closed session. Sorry, I didn't see that agenda item. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a contract. We generally...
No, I just didn't know we were going into closed session. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we will be going into closed session, and that's kind of like the main item.
Okay.
okay, we have... Thank you, George. I guess you don't have to hang around if you don't want to, because we're done with this item. You're welcome to stay if you want to.
Okay. I might stretch my legs, so.
Okay.
So, thanks for having me, and thanks, Eileen.
Thank you, George.
For your work on the committee, and Anita for the team. So, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George.
Thank you for your amazing amount of work.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, the next item on the agenda is a proposal for a bylaws, setting a bylaws timeline. Lauren, this is your motion. You want to speak on this?
Yes, Chair. The motion was submitted to yourself, Mary Ann, the recording secretary, Paulina. It sets a bylaws timeline for the Articles of Incorporation. I'm not re-noticing that. I'm just noticing, I'm requesting a vote on the timeline, I believe Mary Ann could possibly read it, Mary Ann, if you have it in front of you.
Yes, I do have it in front of me.
Thank you.
Thank you for sending that timely. It was much appreciated.
Oh, you got it. Just whistle at me once in a while.
So proposed Articles of Incorporation Amendment Timeline. And I think, notice date. 5/3/21, notice of proposed amendment on Pacifica website, beginning of notice period, beginning of fair elections. On air announcements, 5/3/21 to 7/1/21, notification about the existence of the proposed amendment and website posting. Notice period ends 7/1/21. PNB and LSB's vote 7/1/21 to 7/31/21. Ballots mailed to membership, and there's an asterisk there, 8/15/21. In parens, if proposed amendment is approved by both the PNB and three of the five LSBs. I've got three question marks here. Last day members vote. 9/14/21, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Directors signing on the proposed amendment to Pacifica's Articles of Incorporation, Alex Steinberg, Lawrence Reyes, James Sagerton, Ralph Pointer, Beth Von Gunten, Dwayne Lark, Heather Gray, Thomas O'Rourke, Ronald Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Julie Hewitt, and Tom Voorhees. Let's see, B, that's a second one, I believe. So it's not quite written up as a motion, but that is the intent.
Well, it's, yeah, I can explain this a little bit.
Go ahead, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a motion to set a timeline for a change in the Articles of Incorporation that does involve a ballot of the Pacifica membership. However, that ballot will not go out unless this first passes a vote on the Pacifica National Board and at least three local station boards. Furthermore, this is going to require a two-thirds majority if it goes out on the referendum. And the final thing is the timeline was set up in such a way so that if we do go ahead for a ballot on this, it will be bundled into the ballots that will go out for the delegates' elections in August, so which means that the extra cost involved in having this referendum would be negligible. I mean, there might be a very minimal cost, but it would not involve a separate mailing or anything like that. Did I leave out anything, Lawrence?
Yeah, I just want to make one request here. Thank you so much for clarifying that. And for edifying the board. I just want to make one request that the question marks, that was a typo on my part. If you could just delete those question marks because they don't belong there anyway.
Okay. And the timeline was,
yeah, that's correct.
With the national election supervisor, Renee, who will be in charge of sending out, you know, supervising the delegates election. So. You know, if we go ahead with this will be a valid timeline to synchronize this vote on the change in the Articles of Incorporation with the election ballot.
Chair, this is Felina.
So, okay, that's the explanation. We have a motion. We need a second. So far, this has not received a second.
Beth, so moved.
Second. Okay. I'll open up the floor for discussion on this. Remember that we're just voting on a timeline. We're not actually voting on the proposed amendment itself. Beth, or any, who wants to be on the stack? I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is Lawrence.
You want to speak?
Can I request that you move to acclamation? Because there seems to be no one requesting the statute.
Well, okay. Are there any objections to adopting this timeline?
Okay. Mr. Chair, I do have a question.
Ron, yes.
Yeah, my concern was that that motion or that measure would be that our listeners, the members would have to deal with this at the same time they're dealing with this other, you know, referendum.
I just want
to confirm what you're saying there, that you're saying that these two things will not intertwine at all.
The referendum for the rewrite of the Pacifica bylaws will end at the beginning of July. The ballots for this referendum, if it takes place, will not even go out until sometime in August.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Anybody else? So, let me ask again, are there any objections to adopting this timeline? Okay, then the motion is adopted.
Thank you, board members. Thank you very much.
Okay, and I think that's it for the open session. You want to take a 5-minute break and reconvene in 5 minutes for the closed session?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. See you in 5 minutes.
Right.
Chair, I think this is your secretary. I think you need a formal motion to adjourn. To close.
Yeah, we need a motion to adjourn. I jumped the gun a little bit there. I guess I'm getting excited.
Julie,
I'm moved.
Yeah, so moved.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. Well, open session is adjourned. See you in 5 minutes.